Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 27. Psalm 27, we'll read verses 7 through 14 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 27, verses 7 through 14. Psalm 27, verses 7 through 14. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. You've given us such a beautiful day. The sun is shining. The weather is just incredible. But, Lord, the Holy Spirit's presence in our church is what makes today so special. Father, please fill our preacher with your powers. You've done so many times. There's so many needs, so many heartaches, so many burdens. So many people that have real, urgent needs. Lord, you need to use our preacher today to help us. Father, may we listen. May we listen intently. May our hearts be yielded to the Holy Spirit as he preaches. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Before I start my sermon, let me say to you, of course, these are days when we look toward the 4th of July. Around here, the 4th of July is not a time where we celebrate and get drunk and get wild. Around here, we look to Old Glory. We think about the men and the women that have sacrificed their lives to give us a free country. We don't look toward more immorality. We look toward morality, because that's why those people died, that we might have one nation under God. Thank you. Thank you for the music today. The sermon today is something that, if you'll listen, it's going to help you. It is practical. It is simple. I think anybody could preach it. I share with you today a sermon that I call, If You Don't See, You're Going to Faint. If you don't see, you're going to faint. There are people in this church right now, if you keep going in the attitude direction that you're going, you won't be in this church in the next 6 months. You're long-term members. You've been here longer than I have. You're good Christians. But if you're not careful, you'll become a casualty like so many others. Church like this has been around for decades. There are people that have come and gone and come and gone. You've watched them. Oh, be so careful. I'm talking about long-term members. I'm talking about good Christians. Or I may be talking about those members who you've recently come in the last few years, even in the last few months, and you just fell in love with this church. And you said, boy, I knew there was a church out there like this. I just knew it. Be careful now. Has your spiritual attitude becoming worse and worse? Is it weak at best? Has your attitude toward God been changing? Has your attitude toward your church been changing? Has your attitude been getting worse and worse? Has your attitude toward your Christian school been getting worse? Has your attitude toward the standards or the pastor or the staff been getting worse and worse? Be careful. You could fail. You could fall. You could fall away. You say, Brother Owens, what would cause that? I'll tell you something today that causes people to fall away. The Bible says here in Psalm 27, verse number 13, it says, I had fainted. That word fainted there means fallen. I had fallen away unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God said, you stand a chance of fainting. And when somebody faints, they fall. That's what that word means. They faint. They fall away. You stand a chance of falling away if you don't stop and see the goodness of the Lord in your life. Somebody here, you don't think God's been good to you. You think you're getting cheated. You think God is shortchanging you. You think that just everything in your life is bad, and you're coming up short on every page. God said, you will faint if you don't stop and notice how good God has been to you. We get to wallowing a bit in that self-pity. We start feeling sorry for ourselves, like, well, I'm the only one that anything bad ever happens to. Well, I'm sure if we checked around the auditorium, somebody else is going through what you're going through. You're not the only one, but you're the one that's looking at you the most. You're looking at your problems the most. You're examining you and feeling sorry for you and having a pity party for you. And nobody else is going to whine for you, so you're going to whine for yourself. Nobody else is going to feel bad for you, so you better feel bad for yourself. You think you're getting cheated. And I'll tell you, if you're not careful, you'll begin to take it out on God. Or, since you don't know for sure how to do that, what you could do then is take it out on other people that are still loyal to God. Take it out on God's kids. Sounds reasonable. Can I tell you why? And this isn't happening to me, but can I tell you something? Can I tell you why people get mad at the preacher and attack the preacher? Because they're really mad at God, and they happen to know whose payroll the preacher's on. They figure, right there's his representative. If I can't get to God, why not go after him? Go after his family. Go after, hey, I'll go after the assistant pastors. I got to go after somebody. I'm mad. I'm being shortchanged. I'm being hurt. Therefore, I in my heart, I'm not going to admit to it. I'm mad at God, but since I can't get to God, I'll go after his representatives. People do that all the time. They do that all the time. I mean, you go down to a store somewhere, and if they sold you a faulty item, if you're not careful, you'll chew the lady out that's behind the counter for returns. I bought this product here, and it's a piece of trash. And the lady behind the counter didn't have anything to do with building it. Nothing. You just chew her out and spit her. You chew her up and spit her out. She had nothing to do with it. But what? She's a representative, and you're going to attack somebody, and you're going to be mean to somebody, and you're going to take it out on somebody because somebody deserves your wrath because you're mad at the creator of the product. There's some of you, you'll get mad at God, and you get angry at God, and you get bitter at God because you feel like you're getting shortchanged, and then you'll take it out on another Christian. And the Bible says there in Psalm chapter 27, verse number 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. In other words, the way to keep yourself from fainting or falling is you better believe in the goodness of God. You better not lose track of how good God really is. I'm going to tell you a story. It's a true story. When I went to high school, I did not have the privilege to go to a Christian school. I wanted to. I wanted to go, but my parents were not in church at that time. They didn't understand its great importance. They were not spiritual. So I didn't get to go. I went to a public school. I went to my public high school all by myself as a Christian. Carried my Bible. I started witnessing to people. I took my Bible to school. I didn't try to fit in with all the public school kids. I carried my Bible in. They knew I was a Christian. And I started witnessing to some of the people that were there. There's a young man there by the name of Doug. Doug had told me about how rough his life was, and we began talking, and Doug and I, we got relatively close, and I had the privilege of winning Doug to Jesus. One day at school, I took my Bible out and I showed Doug how to be born again, and he got saved. Doug's dad was a big man, and Doug's dad was very mean to Doug. Doug told me, now I didn't see it happen, and I don't believe everything that people tell me, but Doug had told me, he said, my dad beats me. Doug said, to me. He said, my dad beats my sister, and his sister had epilepsy. And he said, my dad will get mean to my sister, and then she'll have a seizure. And Doug was telling me these stories, but Doug got saved. Then I had the privilege of winning Doug's sister to the Lord. That was so exciting. Then you're not going to believe it. Doug's dad was 6'6", Brother Doss. Huge man. Great big man. I remember one day I had the privilege of winning Doug's mom and dad to the Lord. Boy, Doug got saved. His sister got saved. His mom and dad got saved. I remember while in my Christian school, or in the public school there, I started a little club. We called it a Bible club. And we called it the Proverbs Club is what we called it. We had a theme called TROT, T-R-O-T, Teens Reaching Other Teens for Christ. And the young people in the school could come to that Bible club and I would teach them the Bible. There are a bunch of what I'd call punks, bullies in the school. They didn't like it. They teased us about our Bibles and they teased us. And just so you know, it was usually the athletes because they thought they were really cool and all the rest of us, there was something wrong with us. I hate that attitude. I hate that attitude that somebody thinks because they're physically capable that makes them maybe better than somebody else. That's not true. That's not true. But they would pick on us and give us a hard time. I remember one day I was walking into a class and five guys, all that happened to be jocks, were waiting outside that room and started giving me a hard time. I had my Bible in my arms where I always took them. And you know something about it? I was an athlete too. Back when I was an athlete and I wasn't carrying my Bible, those guys got along fine with me. When I started carrying my Bible, they had a problem with that. Really what it was, they were under conviction. They knew that the Bible was right and they were wrong in the way they were living. And it bothered them. It bothered them. That day as I was trying to go in, I think it was a geography class, as I was trying to go in, one of the guys that was standing there, he said, you can go into class, but that book's not going into class. I said, well, I'm going into class and the book's going with me. He said, you're not going into class with that book. And he took my Bible and he knocked it off the top of my books and it scattered out all over the floor there. And I picked it up and I started to walk into class and all five of the guys stepped in front of the door. And they said, Owens, you're not going into class. And if you do, you're not taking that book in there. I said, I am going into class and the book's going with me. So I just barreled into him. I didn't have any sense. I still don't have any sense. And I said, I'm going. And I just went running and I tried to bust through. All five of them started swinging at me and hit me. All because I was carrying my Bible. Now, it went through my head for a moment there. You are in trouble. You're outnumbered and you can't run because they already got a hold of you. I don't mind fighting somebody I can outrun. They already had me. And I remember as I was kind of curled up there, I thought, I am in trouble. About that time, I heard something I never heard before. It sounded like a helicopter that was broken. It sounded like a puppy that was hit by a car. A helicopter puppy that was broken, hit by a car. All of a sudden, I heard something. It went, wah! I looked up and it was Doug. Doug come running down the hallway. He dove like a missile into those five guys. Doug had like two karate lessons in his life. But he'd watched enough Bruce Lee TV to know how to act like he knew what he was doing. Doug come running down there. Boy, he got in a stance. He was ready to go. I don't think they're afraid of Doug's karate. I think they're afraid of Doug being nuts, you know. The guys backed off and left us alone. We ended up at the principal's office. We told him the story that the other men got in all sorts of trouble. Well, they weren't men, boy. They were boys. Doug started serving God. Boy, he's coming to church, serving the Lord. I remember one day he and I had been out soul winning on a Saturday and we were in my car for a while and then Doug went and got in his car. We separated. We both would take the same journey back home. We'd have to go across Highway 27. He took off before me. I followed it, going the same path toward home. I came up over a hill and I could not believe my eyes. Doug had pulled out on Highway 27, an 18-wheeler going 65 miles an hour. It hit Doug in his car. I arrived at the very same time the ambulance was arriving. He had actually sent his car right in front of the front tandem. So his car had been bouncing around between the front tires and the back tires on that 18-wheeler. Just took the top right off of his car. When I arrived, I was watching Doug try to climb out. It was an old Gremlin, one of the ugliest cars ever created. He was climbing out of that car. I could see his car lodged up underneath the back of that truck. Doug's Bible was on the dash, and the pages were blowing in the wind. The ambulance people were running toward the car, and I was running toward the car. I was there to help Doug. His back was broken. The ambulance man pulled me away. He said, "Sir, I don't know if you pray, but you better pray because I don't think your buddy's going to make it." He took him to the hospital. Believe it or not, they put him back together. Back broken, arms broken. I couldn't believe it. 6 weeks later, I was the one that went to pick Doug up at the hospital. He still had a halo where they had put a halo around his head to hold his neck steady, where they drilled holes into his head and put bolts into his head to hold his head steady as he would continue to heal. And I went and picked him up at the hospital. I walked into the car. Doug realized how good God had been to him. Doug and I that day, Brother Young, as I was taking Doug home, Doug said, "I remember the day I got saved." He said, "I remember the day my sister got saved." He said, "I remember the day my mom got saved. I remember the day my dad got saved." He said, "I remember as I began to grow in the Lord." He said, "I remember that day you and I stood up to those bullies at the school because somehow they were tormented that we were Christians." And then Doug said, and look at this, "Everybody said I would die and I'm alive." And all the way home, Doug testified of the goodness of the Lord. Doug left our area and he moved out to Arizona. About 2 years after that, I was on the phone and I called Doug. I said, "Doug, how you doing? What's happening?" Well, you could hear rock and roll music just blaring in the background. You could tell by the way Doug talked that something was different. Doug had gotten backslidden. He'd gotten away from the Lord. He began to tell me about how he had gone to jail since. He began to tell me a wretched, nasty story. I hung up the phone and I wept. And I asked myself this question: what in the world happened to Doug? He was a saved man. He got so far away from God, he had messed up his life. And that day, I happened to be reading in the Bible. And I came across this verse from Psalm 27:13, where it said, "I had fainted, lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord." You know what had happened to Doug? Doug had failed to see the goodness of God. And as a result of it, he fell away from God. I'll give you some real good advice today. You too will fall away from God unless you keep your eyes on how good God has been to you. Both we can believe to see in the future the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But I can guarantee you something. If you'll look back at what God's done for you, it'll help you stay on track today. There's some of you, you're getting away from the Lord right now. And I'll tell you what you need to do. Some of you need to get your eyes off your problem. And you need to look at how good God has been to you in the past. And it'll keep you from falling away from God now. See, Doug failed to look back and how good God had been to him. Why in the world? Why in the world will a man that had been through everything that Doug had been through, he'd seen all those blessings, his salvation, his sister's salvation, him and his sister were no longer being beaten, mama saved, daddy saved, a near-death experience in an accident, and then he turns around and turns his back on God. It looks to me like somebody had forgotten how good God had been to him. But that's what he did. You see, one of the very best ways to keep yourself doing right is that you do not fail to see the goodness of the Lord in your life. When the Bible uses the word faint, it said, I had fainted. What does it mean? I would have fallen away. I would have been overwhelmed to the point of quitting. But, it says, unless I had seen the goodness of the Lord. You see, if we do not see the goodness of the Lord, then we may faint.
What does it mean? Doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation, because you cannot lose your salvation. But what it does mean is you will get away from God. Did you know a saved person can be miserable? There's some of you are. There are people sitting in this building. You are a miserable Christian. Why? Because you have fainted. You're falling away from the Lord. And as you fall away, part of what causes it is that you have failed to see the goodness of God in your life. Let me talk to you about that for just a few minutes. For instance, when we fail to see that we don't even deserve the good things that we have, when we fail to see that, we may faint. If you fail to see the goodness that's in your life, you may find yourself fainting and falling away from God. The Bible tells us in Revelation 21:8, talks about the people that will go to hell. Talks about the unbelieving and the liars. And there's a great big old long list. Can I tell y'all something? We are all guilty enough of sin that we deserve to go to hell. And the truth is, we got saved, and God saved us and has made heaven available to us. We don't deserve that. Don't you ever get the idea that you deserve heaven. The only thing that qualifies for you to heaven is the goodness of the Lord. It's the fact that Jesus Christ died for you. Those people that think they can work their way to heaven, what a slap to the face of God. There's no human being alive that could work their way to heaven. God said it would take perfection. The only perfect person that's ever walked the face of this earth was Jesus Christ. You can't lose your salvation, and people that believe that don't believe that Jesus is the Savior. Jesus does all the saving. You don't have any part of it. You don't keep it. He did all the saving. That's how you stay saved. You stay saved because you had nothing to do with it. Never will and never have. All you do is receive the free gift. You see, when we fail to see the goodness of God and all the good things God's given us, and we get this idea that we deserve all these good things, oh, we may faint. We may faint. You see, only through Jesus Christ do we even get heaven. We don't, do you realize you have a body, but we, not that we deserve that body. Won't you be thankful for the body God's given you? You didn't earn that body. You know, we just complain. We want to complain about the body that God has given us. Well, I don't like the way I look. I don't want to look the way I look. Listen, folks, God created you the way He wanted you. You need to stop complaining about your body. Stop complaining about what God's given you. We don't deserve the food that we eat. You know, yeah, there's a story in the Old Testament. I won't go into it in depth, but there's a story in the Old Testament where some people were cut off from food. And they became so hungry that they ate the head of a donkey. They became so hungry they were eating dove's dung. They were eating human waste, and they actually were eating babies. That's how hungry they were. Now, that's hungry. But you know what's wrong with you and I? We're so dissatisfied with our food, it's pathetic. We are so spoiled rotten. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're going to faint. You're going to fall away from God. You're going to fall away from the church. You're going to fall away from the things of God unless you start realizing all the good things you have. You really don't deserve them anyhow, but God gives you so much and He takes such good care of you. You're going to fall away. Did you know something? That bad attitude that you have about the food that you eat, that bad attitude, that is a contributor to you falling away from church and falling away from God. Why? God's the one that gave you your food. That is why you bow your head and say, Father, thank you for this food. Who are you thanking for the food? God. You say, my daddy provided it. Yeah, your heavenly Father. Well, my mama provided it. Well, I got to tell you, when the food came, it came from God to your dad or from God to your mom. But it is God that provided the food. And in America today, we've got this bad attitude about food. Well, I don't like that. I don't want to eat this. I'm not going to clean up my plate. We're going to throw it away. Most of us, if we'd take 1 week and take all the food that we throw away in 1 week and put it in a bag, we could send it to another country and there'd be families that were pleased to have the food that you turn your nose up at. And I'm telling you, you will fall away from God if you fail to see how good He's been to you. Oh, we don't deserve the food that we have. We don't deserve the heaven that we have. In America today, everybody's taught about their rights. I want my rights. I've got the right to do this and the right to do that. We are being so influenced by the liberal left. I've got news for you. You've got a gracious God, and what we deserve is a place called hell. Well, I want better. You get heaven, but it's not because of you. You get food because of the graciousness and the caring, loving God. Hey, our clothes. We are so dissatisfied with our clothes. So dissatisfied. There are people in here, you have financial problems at home just because of all the money you spend on your clothes. There's some of you are, you're so worried about what everybody thinks of you. But you're ruining your family financially by spending all the money on those clothes. And the problem is you're not really worried about what people think of you. You got a problem about what you think of yourself. And if you'd really trace it, you'd find out you ought to be just thankful you've got clothes. The Bible says having food and raiment, being there with content. And the word content there comes from a Greek word, contento. It means held together. You ought to be able to hold it together just because you have some food and you have some clothes. But we're spoiled rotten. And if you're not careful, that dissatisfaction is going to cause you to fall away from the Lord. You fall away. You're dissatisfied with the clothes that you have. And that attitude will cause you to fall away from the Lord. You're dissatisfied with the food that you have. And that attitude can cause you to fall away. It says, I had fainted unless I had seen the goodness of the Lord. Somehow we think we deserve all of this. Now I believe in working hard and the reward of working hard. But don't you get this idea that somehow even though you work hard, you don't need God. Those of you that I was bragging on Brother Mark Rogers early and what a man of character he is. Indeed he is. And thank God for that. Brother Mark, let me remind you that character is God blessing you. God blessing you. So, listen. We will fail if we do not see that what God gives us is a blessing to us and we don't deserve it. He gives it to us. It's a blessing to us. Let me say secondly, if we fail to see all the good things that God gives us, we're going to faint. You know, in John 3:16, have you ever stopped to think about some of the wonderful things God's given you? Let me start out with, He gave you His Son. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, some of us, we're spending so much time upset about all the things we don't have, we've not stopped to thank God for what we do have. Well, I don't have this. I don't have that. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. Well, you're so locked in on what you don't have. Have you stopped to realize what you do have? If every time that you get to feeling like you're getting cheated, you're not getting what you think you deserve. And I'll tell you, I say this from time to time. You say, well, I want what I deserve. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't want what you deserve because what we deserve is hell. God was gracious to make salvation available to us, but that's not all about you. That was all about Jesus Christ. But we get so caught up in what we don't have and we make ourselves miserable and then we forget what we do have. If you're saved, you have Jesus. Oh, we act so religious. You know, we'll sing a song about Jesus and you'll say, oh, I just love that song about Jesus. Then you turn around, you gripe about your food, you gripe about your clothing, you gripe about your job, you gripe about everything that you have. Who do you think you get all that from? Jesus, I thought you loved Him. I thought you appreciated Him. I thought you worshipped Him. If you worship Him, then live it. And you live it in satisfaction in regard to what He's provided for you. Oh, these worshipers waving their hands and closing their eyes, and they got all this worshipy, ooey gooey stuff. And then they turn around and gripe about their job and gripe about their body and gripe about everything that they have. You're not worshiping Christ. You're putting on a religious show. Because if you were truly satisfied with Jesus Christ, you don't show it in church. You show it 365 days a year at home and at work and at school and with your husband and with your wife. Ooey gooey, Jesus worshipy. Come on. Bunch of religious garbage. You can put on a show, but the truth is, it's what you are at home. It's how you respond to the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If we fail to see all the good things God's given us, we may faint. We'll fall away. Just think. You have a thing that we hardly ever think about. It's a thing called life. 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 But Bob, I have life. But Calvin, I'm alive. You say, so what's the big deal? It'll be a big deal when someone says, you've got one day to live. And you'll say, oh, how valuable. Why is it that you have to lose it to realize how valuable it is? I want to live every moment of every day. I want to breathe the air. I want to taste the food. I want to love my family. Life. I have life. I have life. What did you want? What is it that you want? What is it that you said, I want some good things? You got Jesus.
Amen.
You've got life.
Yes.
Sounds pretty good to me.
Yes.
God's given you the best of things. You know, if you'll think about it, do you realize how many millions of babies are killed in abortion every year?
Yes, sir.
But guess what? You and I, we're alive.
Yes.
We have life. Boy, that's valuable. If you don't start looking at the goodness of the Lord, you're going to fall away from Him. You'll faint. You'll get away. You see, we don't realize the food that we have and the clothes that we have, the things that God gives us. That's the goodness of the Lord. You're going to faint. You're going to fall away. If you don't stop and look at the goodness that God's given you, you're going to faint. We have Jesus. We have life. Most everybody here has a relatively healthy body. But somehow, we forget about it. You say, well, I've only got one arm. Well, then you have one. Somebody doesn't. You better stop and see the goodness of the Lord. We have healthy bodies. We have our sight. That's a wonderful thing. There's some people back here that they cannot hear. They don't have their hearing. We just take it for granted. You can hear me. You can hear that wonderful song that was sung earlier. You get to hear that. All the deaf people got to do was watch signs made from hands. And they tried to enjoy the song that was sung earlier. You'll fall away from God if you don't keep your eyes on the goodness of God in your life. Thank God I've got my hands. Thank God I've got my feet. Thank God I've got my legs. Hey, thank God. I thank God for Brother Paul Mongan back here. Somehow the Lord has chosen that his legs be taken off. I called him. He was a bit delirious. He had just come out of surgery. They'd cut both of his legs off. He had just come out of surgery. I said, Brother Paul, how you doing? He said, well, just tell somebody if they need a couple extra legs, mine are available. What a good attitude. What a good attitude. Thank God. Can't wait to get back to work. Biting at the bits. I'm sure his wife's ready for him to come back to work. Hey, listen. We better be careful that we look at the goodness of God in our life. You're going to get to zeroing in, and the devil's going to take your attitude, and he's going to try to get you to see all the things you don't have. And that'll get your eyes off of all the things that you do have. And the provider of the one that gave you all the good things is God. And you're going to fall away from him because the devil's got you looking at the negatives and the bad things in your life. And the psalmist said, I would have fainted unless I had seen the goodness of God. And the word fainted there means fallen away. I would have fallen. I would have been overwhelmed because I would have started looking at the negative and the bad and all the things that are happening to me. But I've got to keep my eyes on the goodness of the Lord. I have heaven and I don't deserve it. I have food and I don't deserve it. I have clothing and I don't deserve it. Wow, look at what God's given me. Hey, I have Jesus as my Savior. I have life. I have my arms. I have my legs. I have my eyes. I have so many things. Some of you need to stop and look. You can thank God you still have your parents. You can thank God you still have your parents. He said, Brother Owens, my parents are gone. Okay, thank God for heaven. Thank God for heaven. To the Osherman family, thank God for heaven. Roger, you'll see them again someday. You'll see them again someday. Thank God for heaven. Thank God for what God does for us. Some of you children, I'll tell you something. You better love your mom and dad. You better thank. You say, Brother Owens, my mom and dad, they're bad and they're evil and they don't love God and they hurt me. Listen, I just want to tell you something. I want you to learn to love your mom and dad. I was thinking on Mother's Day, As my children were doing things for my wife, I was thinking on Mother's Day how my wife lost her mom in the early part of life. And then on Father's Day, how my mother had lost her dad in the early part of her life. And it made me want to call my mom and dad so much the more. Because my poor wife didn't have a mama, didn't have a daddy, couldn't call her big brother, her second big brother, because they've all passed away. You see, my wife's only in her 40s, early 40s, and they've been gone for years, some of them. Folks, the important things of life, it's not your car. It's not your house. It's not your clothes. It's not the steak that you think will make you happy. The important things are in life is that you had some food.
Amen.
And that you're clothed and you're not naked. And you have heaven and you have Jesus and you have life and a mom and a dad.
Right.
You have a mate.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. A husband. A wife. My wife and I went up yesterday to the University of Baltimore Hospital. Carmen Davis is there. She's doing better, but you pray for her. We were up there, and we headed home, and we stopped at a Bob Evans restaurant because we'd just been going all day long since early in the morning, and it was getting late, and I owed it to my wife to get her a little something to eat, plus I was starving. And I make it look like I was taking her out, but I was the one that was hungry. We stopped in, we got a table, and we ordered a little bit of food, and then a lady came in and sat at a table across from us. She looked like she was probably about 60 years old, and I was watching her. I watched her order, and I watched her sitting alone, and then it occurred to me, she's probably eating alone because her husband's gone, passed away. Brother Mill Irons, I just felt so bad for her. Looked across the table at my wife. I thought, I'm going to enjoy this meal. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy sitting here with my wife at Bob Evans because the lady sitting beside me. It's not as special of a meal to her because her loved one's passed on. I'll tell you what will get you away from God. What will get you away from God is when you fail to see the goodness of God in your life. Some of you husbands and wives, won't you stop your bickering? Won't you go home today and sit across the table from each other and realize you still have each other? See, it's a little rough right now, but look, you're still alive and it can still be fixed and God has something good for you. Hey, you are going to faint unless you see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Don't go home today and gripe and complain about the house in which you live. Just thank God you have some place to live. When you get home today and you realize you don't have a bunch of steak and caviar, and I wouldn't eat that stinking green, slimy fish egg garbage anyway. But if you don't have steak and caviar, you better thank God for the hot dogs. You'll fall away from God. Today I'm not talking about the drugs, and I'm not talking about the alcohol and all the filth of immorality. Today I'm telling you, the psalmist said, I would have fainted, I would have fallen away from God unless I had seen the goodness of God. He said I had to stop, and things were getting, they were weighing me down, and I was about overloaded, and I didn't think I could take any more. And before I faint, what can I do? And the Lord said, look to my goodness, look to what I've done for you, look back, look up. I was about to faint. I looked and I said, look, I've had food. I've had clothing. I have life. I have Jesus. I have people that love me. You know what? I got the energy to go on, the psalmist said. But I would have fainted had I not looked at the goodness of the Lord. You know, I was thinking, 4th of July is just a few days away. Boy, am I honored to be an American. Singing that song about old glory. Well, I'd rather live in America than any place in the world. I'm an American. And to those of you that are veterans and those of you that have given of yourself to the United States of America and our military, I take my hat off to you. I salute you. Thank you for my country. Thank you for America. Thank you for old red, white, and blue. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And listen, I would rather be dirt poor in America than filthy rich living in Afghanistan. I'd rather be dirt poor in America than filthy rich in Iran or Iraq. This is still one nation under God. This is still a nation that is doing her best to talk about Jesus Christ. I'm glad we still have "In God We Trust" on our coin. They may want to take it off, but we're going to fight it. This is still America. You know, you say, "Oh, Brother Owens, everything's going wrong." You can thank God that everything's going wrong and you're in America while it's going wrong. You say, "Oh, my life is heavy." Hey, you can thank God you're in America while your life is heavy. They come from all around the world to come to our hospitals. They come from all around the world to see what America is like. I'm glad I'm American. I'm glad you cut me. I bleed red, white, and blue. Don't try it. The psalmist said, "I thought I was going to faint, Brother Dawes. The pressure, the pain, the heartache. I thought I was going to faint. It seemed like something else came. And then something else. And then something else. And I didn't know. I didn't know if I could even go on. And I thought I was going to faint and fall. What can I do, God? What can I do?" And the psalmist said, "But I glanced toward the goodness of the Lord. And I looked and I seen the goodness of God. I seen what He done for me in the past. I seen how He blessed me. And hey, I remember back when I was sick before and God brought me through. And I thought, well, maybe He could bring me through again. And I remember when I was broke before and God brought me through. And I remember when I had heartache in a relationship before, but God brought me through. And you know what? I wasn't going to faint, but I got energy. I got power from the goodness of God, and I can go on now." He said, "I would have fainted, but right before I went down, I glanced at the goodness of the Lord. And what was just a glimmer of hope when I examined it, I thought, there's more than a glimmer there. There's overwhelming evidence. There's powerful evidence. God's good. Wait, the darkness is fleeing. Wait, the negative is running. What is it? What drives the evil darkness out of my life? It's the brightness of the goodness of God. Oh, look what all God's done for me." Things get heavy. You say, "I think I'm going to faint." So what do I do, Brother Owens? Get you a piece of paper. Sit down, start writing everything God does for you. Start writing everything. There's some of you, you're depressed, you're down, you're about to faint, and I'm telling you what to do about it. Some of you won't even listen to my advice. You're not even willing to pay the price to count your blessings, name them one by one. I'll tell you what you do. Don't get a piece of paper, because that won't be enough. Stop and get you a pad of paper and go home and start writing down everything that's in your cupboards. One slice of bread at a time. One egg at a time. One spoon at a time. One towel at a time. Go home. Figure it out. And every minute that the air conditioning's on, run by and put a scratch on the pad. Just go home and start counting up the blessings of God. Just start keeping tally. Just about as fast as the national deficit is increasing, the blessing of God is increasing in your life. It's got one of those rotating numbers that keeps on flipping and flipping and flipping. That's almost like the price of gas today. You're not going to believe it. I have in my truck in the ashtray right now. I don't put anything else in the ashtray. Christians don't smoke. But I have in my ashtray right now. I've got a G.I. Joe arm and leg that's dislodged from the torso. Because I was at a gas station down in Winchester, Virginia. While I was pumping my gas, someone had left a G.I. Joe arm and leg on top of the gas pump with a sign that said, "It's costing us an arm and a leg." I picked up the arm and leg, put it in my ashtray. I thought, I'm taking that with me. And as fast as that little meter on the gas gauge is clicking off when we're paying $3 a gallon for gas, God is blessing you faster than that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and you have not stopped to look at everything God's done for you, and you are going to get away from God if you don't keep your eyes on the goodness of God in your life. The devil comes and he wants to put blinders on you. He does not want you to see the reality of what God is doing for you, what God has done for you. Some of you need to look back and see God brought you through in the past. And if you will, the same God is a God that's in the future and in the now. I failed to see the goodness of God. So I almost fainted. Some of you need to catch yourself. See the goodness of God. See the goodness. I'll tell you, sometimes you're going to feel like, Brother Owens, I can't see the goodness at the moment. Look back then. Look back at the goodness. You'll faint if you don't. You'll faint if you don't. You know, if we fail to see the goodness of God in regard to our salvation, we may faint. You won't lose your salvation, but you'll get away from Him. Do you realize how valuable your salvation is? If everything humanly possible goes wrong in your life, I can guarantee you one thing that won't fail, and that is your salvation. We're going to get past this. You say, what is it? I don't know. I don't know what it is that you're facing. But if worse comes to worse, one of these days, you're going to be in heaven. Your salvation will hold up under any pressure. You say, Brother Owens, I totally fallen apart. Totally. I shouldn't. I'm a Christian. Well, let me make you a promise. You can fall apart emotionally, but your salvation is put together with some pretty durable glue. It's Jesus glue. It's not Gorilla glue. It's durable. So you know what? You say, for the ones that seems like everything's falling apart, I'll tell you one thing that's not, and that's your salvation. Your salvation is intact. You see, we'll faint. We'll fall. We'll fall away if we don't stop and realize that all the good things we have, we don't deserve them. Somehow we get this idea, I deserve that. We deserve hell. And we will faint if we don't stop and thank God for the good things we do have. See, if we think we deserve them, then when we don't have them, we're going to be upset about it. Then we won't thank God for the good things we have because we're so busy looking at the bad things that are occurring. And then the most wonderful thing we have is salvation. And if we're not careful, we won't notice that either. We won't notice how wonderful salvation is. I'll tell you a story and I'm finished. A man that was driving through a graveyard one day and he noticed a little girl weeping at a tombstone. He stopped and he went over to that little girl and said, little girl, is this the tombstone of your daddy? She said, no. He said, little girl, is this the tombstone of your mother? She said, no. Is this your uncle or your aunt? No, said the little girl. A brother or a sister? No, no. Is it one of your grandparents? The little girl said, no. She said, I've never seen this man before. I've never talked to the man buried here before. I've never went anywhere with him. But he's my best friend on this earth. The man said, little girl, the man buried here is not a family member. You've never talked to him. You've never been anywhere with him, but he's your best friend. I said, yes. She said, you see, many years ago, when I was a baby, I was in my bassinet. Our house started on fire. A man was driving by in a car. Our house was on fire. Nobody could get to me. A man that didn't even know me jumped out of his car. He ran into my house and came and found my bassinet and threw me out a window to my mom and dad. The minute I landed in my daddy's arms to safety, the building caved in and that man burnt to death. And this is that man's tomb. She said, I owe him everything. I owe him everything. And my friend, somebody race to your aid named Jesus. You were doomed, and He saved you. And in the process, He died. And some of you need to get the attitude that's negative about your life, period. You need to bring it to an end and kneel and say, "And I, no matter what comes my way, I owe You everything. I owe You everything. All to Jesus I surrender humbly. At His feet I bow." Look, folks, we're only going to be down here for a while. Do not let the devil destroy your spirit. The devil will do everything to get your eyes on the negative. He'll do everything to get your eyes off of the goodness of God. You say, "Brother Owens, I'm about to faint. I've tried to help you. I've given you some spiritual smelling salts. What do you call them? Smelling salts today. Take a big old whiff of the goodness of God in the land of the living, or you will faint." And remember, there's some people in here. You've forgotten how good it is to be a part of this church. You've forgotten some things. Take a big old whiff of the goodness of God, or you're going to fall away. If you're not saved today, that very same Jesus died for you. We welcome you to the Savior. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is a personal one. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? If you say, "I do not know that I'm on my way to heaven," then we want to welcome you to the Savior. Please let me pray for you. If you're not saved, we'd like to see you get saved. Who here would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. Pray for me," and you'll raise your hand and I'll do it. Good, I see a hand. Who else? You say, "I'm not saved. I need to be saved." I see another hand. Who else? "I'm not saved. I need to be born again." If you're not saved, in a moment we're going to have an altar call. You'll see the people will stand, the choir will sing, folks will come toward the front. There'll be men standing at the front at the end of each aisle. If you're not saved, walk up to one of the men and say, "I want to be born again," and we'll take a Bible and show you how you too can have this Savior to whom you owe it all. He's already died for you. He's already been buried for you and resurrected for you. You just come and freely receive the gift of salvation. There's some people out there. You've let the devil blind you to the goodness of the Lord. You're feeling sorry for yourself. You need to get your eyes back on the God that's done it all for you in the past. He's done it in the past. He'll do it in the future. He'll do it now. Who here would say, "Preacher, I need to get my eyes back on the goodness of the Lord while I live my life"? Will you raise your hand? There are hands up all over this building, and already you may put those hands down. In a second, we'll start the invitation. In a moment, I'll ask you to stand. In a moment, we'll sing. Why don't you leave your seat, whether it's in the balcony or on the lower floor, and you come toward the front. If you've been saved already and you need to make that public, you come. I want to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our